And Moses sent messengers from Kadesh unto the king of Edom. Thus saith thy brother Israel, thou knowest all the travail that hath befallen us, and so on. In other words, Moses is reminding the inhabitants of Edom that they are brother to Israel. Thou knowest all the ill that hath befallen us, how our fathers went down into Egypt, and we have dwelt in Egypt a long time, and the Egyptians vexed us and others. And when we cried unto the Lord, he heard our voice, and sent an angel, and hath brought us forth out of Egypt. And behold, we are in Kadesh, a city in the uttermost of thy border. Let us pass, I pray thee, through thy country. We will not pass through the fields or through the vineyards, neither will we drink of the water of the wells. We will go by the king's highway. We will not turn to the right hand nor to the left until we have passed thy borders. So Moses is asking Edom's permission to go through the roadway. Israel does not want Edom's land. Israel does not want to harm Edom in any way. They just want to go through on the highway or the roads of Edom. Here is Edom's answer. And Edom said unto him, thou shalt not pass by me, lest I come out against thee with the sword. And the children of Israel said unto him, we will go by the highway, and if I and my cattle drink of thy water, then I will pay for it. I will only, without doing anything else, go through on my feet. In other words, we won't even camp on your land. All we want is permission to travel through on the highway. And Edom answered, thou shalt not go through. And Edom came out against him with much people and with a strong hand. Edom barred the way for Israel to enter into the promised land, and we shall see, when we get further in our study, that the descendants of Edom today are barring the way into the kingdom. Even though Edom was not to be harmed, even though they would not be hurt by Israel's passage, they came out against them to battle. So the hatred of Edom for Israel was still in existence 400 years after the time of Esau and Jacob. Now turn with me back to Exodus 17, for here Israel fought another well-known battle recorded in the books of Moses, a battle fought with Edomites, although most Bible students do not know these are Edomites. Exodus 17, beginning in verse 8. Then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim. Up Genesis 36 again, where we read that Esau was the father of the Edomites, we find that Amalek is Esau's grandson. In other words, Amalek and Edomite, leading Edomite armies, attacking Israel. This is the battle in Genesis 17. Where as long as Moses held up the rod, Israel prevailed, and when the rod was lowered, Israel retreated. Aaron and Hur stood one on each side of Moses and supported his arms, and Israel finally won, and then we read this pronouncement of God in Exodus 17, beginning in verse 14. And the Lord said unto Moses, write this for a memorial in a book, and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua, for I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. And Moses built an altar and called the name of it Jehovah Nissi. For he said, because the Lord hath sworn that the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation. This is an important prophecy which affects us today. Here are enemies of Israel who are Edomites, which means red. God says they will be utterly destroyed, but that God will war with them from generation to generation first. That would sound as if God will be fighting Esau's descendants all through the ages until they shall finally be destroyed. That fits the prophecy of Obadiah, written about 1,000 years later, and yet still 500 years before Christ, about Esau Edom. Obadiah, you should read in all, it is only one chapter of 21 verses. Verse 1, the vision of Obadiah. Thus saith the Lord God concerning Edom. We have heard a rumor from the Lord, and an ambassador is sent among the heathen. Arise ye, and let us rise up against her in battle. Then in verse 6, Edom is called Esau, and we read in verse 9, And thy mighty men, O Teman, shall be dismayed, to the end that every one of the mount of Esau may be cut off by slaughter. Teman, again, is listed in Genesis 36 as one of Esau's grandsons. Then in verse 18 of Obadiah, God describes how Esau Edom will be destroyed. And the house of Jacob shall be a fire, and the house of Joseph a flame, and the house of Esau for stubble, and they shall kindle and devour them, and there shall not be any remaining of the house of Esau, for the Lord hath spoken it. In other words, it will be the descendants of Jacob, the Israel people, who will destroy the descendants of Esau, who is Edom, whose name means red. Now, this is to happen in the end of this age, just before the ushering in of Christ is declared in the last verse, verse 21. And saviors shall come upon Mount Zion to judge the mount of Esau, and the kingdom shall be the Lord. Whatever and whoever Esau Edom is in the world today, we would of necessity find them opposing and at war with God and with God's people Israel. I have mentioned several times that the word means red. And lo and behold, there is a great military, economic, and anti-Christian battle being conducted against the Christian West by people who call themselves. In Revelation 17 and 18, as we read the description of the beast and of the woman called Mystery Babylon, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth, we find the beast is, quote, a scarlet-colored beast full of names of blasphemy. It is red, and it blasphemes God. Verse 3, Revelation 17. Purple and scarlet color. In other words, dressed in red. In verse 6, and I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. On the scarlet beast, kill before the so-called prophecy preachers recognize that the scarlet woman is already in the world. The red beast is here. Red Amitim. Red Edom, if you please. Now, many of you see that, and yet men who claim to be Christian ministers still continue to teach that all this murder and killing prophesied in the Bible is to come in the future, that it will be during some 7 years of great tribulation, and that you Christians won't even be here on the earth because you will be gone in the rapture. But the red beast and the red woman kill Christians. The scarlet woman is drunken with the blood of Christians, not with the blood of the heathen. John saw her drunk with the blood and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. How many centuries must it continue before the Christians still alive see who it is who is killing Christians? The prophet Isaiah also saw red Esau in prophecy, and God willing, we will get into that next week. Meanwhile, write to me at America's Promise for the free August literature. You'll receive my booklet, Cinderella, A Bible Story, our pamphlet, The Poison Needle, several other items, a list of current literature, a tape catalog of cassette sermons, and so on. All free for the asking when you write to America's Promise, Box 5334, Phoenix, Arizona, and the zip code 85010. For those who would like a study which fits in with this, I have a cassette tape on The Rich Man and Lazarus. Most of us were told for years that this is a story of heaven and hell, but of course it is not, for the rich man can be identified as Red Esau, and it fits exactly with the description of Mystery Babylon in Bible prophecy. If you want a Bible study which will reveal the truth of Jesus' story of the rich man and Lazarus, you may have that cassette tape for an offering to this ministry of $2.50. That is a 90-minute cassette. You have to ask for it by name. Ask for the cassette tape on the rich man and Lazarus. And please send a $2.50 offering to help us with our radio and related cause. The literature packet is free, but we do appreciate an offering for the expensive cassette. Next week, Isaiah, on who, what, and where of Esau in our time. Again, more prophecy that fits in with the truth that the descendants of Esau, Edom, are here and are still at their ancient wicked work of trying to kill and destroy the descendants of Jacob, Israel. Esau is still trying to steal back the heritage he sold to Jacob so many centuries ago. Yes, the Bible explains the battle between Edomite-led communism and the Christian Israel West. Be with us next week if you can when I return, God willing. Until then, this is Pastor Emery saying goodbye. God bless you, read your Bibles, and pray for Christian America. Thank you. Yes, this is Pastor Sheldon Emring. In the last 2 weeks, we have placed our program on more radio stations, and because of that, we probably have many new listeners. We are in a series of radio broadcasts titled, What is God's Purpose in the Earth? We began with the reading of Isaiah 14, verses 24 through 27, a positive statement by God Almighty that His purposes shall be accomplished. Ending in verse 27, For the Lord of hosts hath purpose, and who shall disannul it, and is stretched out, and who shall turn it back? If my listeners know anything at all about past and present history, they know that there is such a thing as red communism upon the earth, and they also know that the goal of the Red Communists, repeated over and over in 1,000 different ways, is to remove from the earth all in Almighty and to set up a total world dictatorship to stamp out Christianity. Karl Marx once wrote, We shall enter men's minds, wrestle with God, and drive him from his throne. Wherever the Red Communists have gained control, they have immediately set about to murder all believers in Jesus Christ and to terrorize and frighten the rest of the populace into strict obedience to the Red Masters. Part of the reason for this series is to demonstrate, number one, that God has specific purposes for the earth and for its inhabitants. Number two, that God's purposes in the earth are originally revealed in the promises and covenants made to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the book of Genesis. Number three, that God intends to complete those promises and to carry out his agreements and covenants in the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the people called in the Bible the children of Israel. And number four, if we will but study God's word diligently, we can easily see that what is written there is exactly what has come to pass upon the earth, including both Christianity and Red Communism. The secret and open Red Communists in Christian nations use every means to destroy faith in Jesus Christ and in the Bible, but they are helpless to stop the march of the fulfillment of God's prophecy. And as more and more of God's people in America see Bible prophecies being fulfilled, more and more will turn away from the deception and lies of the Red. Jesus told his disciples about future events, and three times we read in the Gospel of John that Jesus said to them, I tell ye these things, that when they come to pass, ye might believe. The angel told John in Revelation 19:10, Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Today, foolish and often deceitful men tell us the testimony of Jesus is such and so, or that it is something else, or that it is this or that. But the Bible says that fulfilled prophecy is a testimony of Jesus Christ and of God. So to preach Christ, we must preach prophecy. That when you see that the Bible prophecies have come to pass and are coming to pass just as God wrote them, ye might believe. In the last two broadcasts, we read about Esau, his brother, the one who sold him the birthright, and I pointed out that Esau is called Edom in Genesis 25 and in Genesis 36, and that Edom means red. This meaning of the word Edom is usually given in the margin in Genesis 25. Reading of Esau's wicked character and of his hatred for Jacob and Jacob's descendants, we can easily see that the story of Esau in the book of Genesis is the story of the beginning of what we now know today as red communism. Just as Esau and his descendants tried to kill Jacob and his descendants, so do the Reds of today try to kill and destroy Christians wherever and whenever they can. The ancient hatred still exists, the ancient views. And when one realizes that the present worldwide attack against white Christianity by the Red Communists is actually a continuation of the war and hatred against Jacob Israel by Red Esau Edom, then we can make biblical sense out of the current confusing world news. That is a rather short resume of what we have covered so far, but I hope it will help our new listeners to follow with us as we continue our study of God's purposes in the earth and how they are revealed in the Bible story of Jacob and Esau. We'll continue our study in just a moment. First, my address and a brief description of the literature we will send you, free and postpaid, when you write to me at America's Promise, Box 5334, Phoenix, Arizona, 85010. Ask for the August packet. That is the August packet. Our packets are changed each month, and to get the right one, just mention the name of the month. This month, you will receive my booklet titled Cinderella, a Bible Story. I did this as a series on the radio several years ago, and we had so many requests for it that we put it in print, and it has been widely distributed since then. Almost every American knows the story of the poor little cinder and what happened to her. Realized they were reading a concealed version of the story of the Bible. So I identified the characters and the events in Cinderella, showed how they fit the Bible story, and you can read them in this booklet. I've heard from so many people over the years who wrote to tell me they could not help but shed some tears as they read Cinderella, a Bible story. Radio listeners who are familiar with the Bible will probably guess that the prince is Jesus Christ, and therefore Cinderella would represent the bride of Christ. But we have also given the biblical identification of Cinderella's father, her wicked and cruel stepmother and sisters, the fairy godmother, although in the original story, she did not have a fairy godmother, but the miracles were performed by a white dove, as we show in the booklet. Also, Cinderella's enforced bondage in her own home, the invitation to the great ball, the carriage, the glass slippers, the 12-o'clock hour, the prince's men who came with the one glass slipper looking for the girl who could fit it on her foot, the great wedding feast are all Bible characters or events, and they are revealed in my booklet, Cinderella, a Bible Story. And for those who just can't bring themselves to write, because this seems too far-fetched, I'll give you another identifying clue. The wicked stepmother, who treated Cinderella so cruelly, is the Scarlet Woman of Revelation 17, Mystery Babylon, Mother of Harlots and Abominations of the Earth. You write for my booklet, read it, and see if it does not fit. Thousands of doctors all over America are trying to warn Americans against flu vaccine. They are pointing out that no one anywhere can predict a so-called epidemic months or years in advance, and that no one can prescribe the exact medicine that will prevent some so-called epidemic. The flu vaccine is so dangerous to humans that all insurance companies canceled all liability insurance for the drug firms manufacturing the vaccine, and most have canceled any liability policies which cover doctors and other individuals who would be administering the flu vaccine. Apparently, they felt that thousands and perhaps tens of thousands of people will be injured by the vaccine, and they want no part of the paying for the resulting lawsuit. So you write to me for the August packet and read The Poisoned Needle. My address is America's Promise, Box 5334, Phoenix, Arizona, 85010. You'll also receive some other Bible tracts and a list of our Bible studies which we have in print and on cassette tape. Last week we saw that in the book of Genesis, Esau Edom attempted several times to kill Jacob. Then in the book of Exodus, recording events of 400 years later, it was Esau Edom's descendants who made war against Israel as Moses was bringing Jacob Israel's descendant out of Egypt. The first battle was with Amalek, Esau's grandson, in Exodus 17, where Israel prevailed over the Edomites only as long as Moses held up the rod. The rod of Moses, of course, is symbolic of both God's law and of Jesus Christ, as most Bible students know. So Israel was victorious over Red Edom as long as and acknowledged Jesus and God's law. Giving that a modern context, we of Christian Israel were victorious over our enemies as long as we acknowledged Jesus Christ and God's law. As a nation and as a people, we no longer do so, and we are being overwhelmed by Red Edomite communism. In this same chapter, the Bible says that God would have war with Amalek, in other words, with Red Edom, from generation to generation. This would mean continual war between the people of Red Edom and the people of God until God fulfilled the final prophesied destruction of all of the people of Esau Edom. The destruction of Esau Edom is prophesied in the book of Obadiah and in other places in the Old Testament, and shown in symbolism with the destruction of the red beast and the red woman of Revelation 17 and 18, they're called Mystery Babylon, the great mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. Now there is a definite connection in the Bible between Red Esau Edom, Babylon, and Red Communism. This connection becomes so obvious once one begins to study the Word of God about Edom, that one wonders how so many millions of Christian churchgoers have been deceived into thinking that Red Communism is just some sort of a different economic or political system instead of what the Bible says it is, Red Edom, the mortal enemy of all Christians and Christianity. The ignorance of our people as to the true identity of the people control Red Communism is such that our own nation had definite Christian and Bible beginnings, now finds itself ruled by men in its government who cooperate fully with Red Communism all over the world. Most of you know that it is the Red Communists who want to overthrow the white governments of Rhodesia and South Africa. But according to Paul Scott's column of July 29, 1976, our Secretary of State, Henry Kissinger, sent George W. Ball to brief all of the presidential candidates on Kissinger's plan to finance the terrorists in Rhodesia and to help them overthrow the white Rhodesian government and to bring economic and other pressures on the government of South Africa to bring about its fall also. After presidential candidate Jimmy Carter was given the United States plan for the overthrow of those two foreign governments, Paul Scott wrote this, quote, "Aides of Carter say privately he has accepted Ball's in Africa and that detailed plans on how it would be implemented are being worked out," end of quote. So, our government has declared war on two non-communist foreign nations, a war that will be carried out in cooperation with Red Communism, a war which will give Red Communism control over all of Southern Africa. And Americans are so ignorant of the Bible and of who runs their own government that they do not recognize the hand of Red Esau Edom in all of this. But perhaps I am getting ahead of my story just a little. I should show first that Red Esau Edom is connected with the Babylon of the Bible. Then it will be easier for you to see Red Esau Edom's role in Red Communism, which is the culmination of the prophecies about Esau Edom and about historical and prophetic Babylon. I said last week we would read some of Isaiah's end time about Red Edom and Red Communism, but I shall hold off on those for now until we make this connection between Esau and Babylon. You could read the first two verses of Isaiah 63, where right in the midst of a lengthy prophecy about Zion, the prophet interrupts with this, "Who is this that come from Edom with dyed garments from Bozrah?" And in verse 2, "Wherefore art thou red in thine apparel, and so on. And then Isaiah repeats the prophecy that this Edom, clothed in red, will be destroyed. But let's go on with our connection between Esau and Babylon, because I have already said that the present red communists are descendants of red Esau Edom, and their whole world Antichrist system is called in the Bible. It is also called by another name in the Bible, which we shall get into a little later. You'll recall I read some brief excerpts last week out of the book of Jasher about Esau and Jacob. For those among my listening audience who do not know what the book of Jasher is, it is one of a number of ancient Israel scripts taken from Jerusalem by Titus in 70 A.D. after he destroyed the city. The first known copies were made in Venice, Italy, in A.D. 1613, and it was first translated into English in 1840, only a little over 100 years ago. The book of Jasher is mentioned in Joshua 13 in the Bible in relation to the day the sun stood still for Joshua, where King James Bible says in verse 13, "Is this not written in the book of Jasher?" It is also mentioned in the King James Bible, Samuel 1, in the account of the death of Saul and Jonathan, and verse 18 ends, "Behold, it is written in the book of Jasher." So the Bible does verify that there was in existence at that time a book called the Book of Jasher. The Book of Jasher, as it has been translated, begins with the creation of Adam and Eve. It tells the story of the Garden of Cain and Abel, the flood of Noah's time, the building of the Tower of Babel, and on through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Israel in bondage in Egypt, the deliverance under Moses, and ends with the account of Joshua taking Israel across Jordan into Canaan land. In many places, the account in the book of Jasher is longer and gives more detail than the books in the Bible. Such is the case with the story of as told in the book of Jasher. And it also gives us quite an insight into Esau's wicked character. Writing of Esau and Jacob as children, the book of Jasher says this, quote, "And the boys grew up to their 15th year, and they came amongst the society of men. Esau was a designing and deceitful man, and an expert hunter in the field, and Jacob was a man perfect and wise, dwelling in tents, feeding flocks, and learning the instruction of the Lord and the commands of his father and mother." End of quote. So Jacob was an obedient child and learned God's word, while Esau was full of deceit and trickery already at 15 years of age. Both the book of Jasher and the book of Genesis tell the story of Esau selling the birthright to Jacob, but in Genesis it only says that Esau, quote, "came from the field and he was faint, and Esau said to Jacob, feed me, I pray thee, with that same red pottage, for I am faint, therefore was his name called Edom," and there the margin says Edom means red, and the book of Genesis goes on and says that Jacob gave him the food in exchange for the birthright. Now, almost all of us learned that little story in Sunday school as children, but it never made sense to me that Esau was so dumb he would sell his right to the covenant just because he was a little hungry. And I never found an adequate explanation until I read the longer account in the book of Jasher. In it, we find that wicked and deceitful Esau had stolen something and had it in his possession when he came to Jacob, something he apparently valued more highly than God's covenant. In fact, Paul writes in Hebrews that when Esau came in, he despised the birthright covenant. And the book of Jasher gives an indication as to why. It tells us that Esau had lain in wait in the forest and had killed Nimrod, the king of Babel, and his two bodyguards, and then escaped back to the house of Isaac, his father, where he then sold the birthright to Jacob. Part of the account in the book of Jasher reads this way after Esau killed Nimrod, quote, "And when Esau saw the mighty men of Nimrod coming at a distance, he fled and thereby escaped. And Esau took the valuable garments of Nimrod, which Nimrod's father had bequeathed Nimrod, and with which Nimrod prevailed over the whole land. Now think, this was something which gave Nimrod power to rule over that whole land and its people, and of course that land was Babylon. Reading on in Asher, and Esau took those garments and ran into the city on account of Nimrod's men, and he came unto his father's house with a fight. And then the book of Jasher says he sold the birth, the words in that section being practically identical to the Bible version. Several things are revealed in that passage in Jasher, which fit perfectly with what we know of Esau, Edom, modern red communism, and Bible prophecy about Babylon. But first, for those who do not know the Old Testament, I should identify this Nimrod whom Esau killed, and from whom he stole something here called, in the English translation, his origin is in Genesis 10, where, following the three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and Shem, of course, we know was the line through whom Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob descended. Verse 6 tells us that Ham had a son named Cush, and then reading on from verse 8 in Genesis 10. And Cush begat Nimrod, a mighty one in the earth. He was a mighty hunter before the Lord, wherefore it is said, even as Nimrod, the mighty hunter before the Lord, and the beginning of his kingdom was Babel. And the margin says, Babylon. So Nimrod was the founder of, and the first king of, ancient Babylon. Bible students know that Babylon in the Bible, both historically and prophetically, stands for an evil, wicked, anti-God and anti-Israel system. And the beginning of his kingdom was Babylon, and Erech, and Akkad, and Calna, in the land of Shinar. And there is more. Verse 11 reads this way. Out of that land went forth Asher, and builded Nineveh, and the city of Rehoboth, and Calah. And the margin says in the King James that that perhaps should read, out of that land he, meaning Nimrod, he went forth and builded Nineveh. So we see Nimrod was the founder of both Babylon and Assyria, for Nineveh was the capital of the empire of Assyria. These two ancient empires, Nimrod, grandson of the enemy empires of the Israel people. In fact, it was Assyria which took most of the house of Israel into captivity out of Canaan land before 700 B.C., and then it was Babylon, which came over a century later and conquered Judah and Jerusalem, and took the remnant of the southern kingdom captive to Babylon for 70 years, as recorded in Jeremiah and the book of Daniel. So putting the two accounts together, we find that Esau willingly disposed of the Abrahamic birthright to Jacob immediately after he had stolen the garment from Nimrod. This strange garment that, according to the book of Asher, gave Nimrod power to rule over Babylon. So in order to understand the significance of what it is Esau Edom now had, which he prized more highly than God's word and covenant, we shall have to understand what those, quote, garments, unquote, were. And we can identify them from the Bible, which we shall have to do, God willing. So you'll be with me if you can. For the biblical explanation of the garments of Nimrod, we will find fit exactly with the modus operandi of red communism today. Oh, what mysteries God has in his word for his people if we will but search the scriptures diligently. Meanwhile, write quickly, right now, today, for our August packet. Get your copy of The Poisoned Needle, which is currently very important to you, and your copy of Cinderella, a Bible Story. I think you will enjoy it very much. The rest of the packet includes some tracts and articles, our complete list of Kingdom Identity literature, and a catalog of over 100 sermon studies on cassette tapes. Those writing now will also receive our last news bulletin, in which we discuss the secret plan of our red enemies to explode atomic bombs in and over America. Yes, red communism is Christian America's enemy in spite of the soothing words of politician and clergy. Until next week when I return, God willing, this is Pastor Emery saying goodbye. God bless you. Read your Bibles and pray for Christian America.